Your kingdom come quickly. Your will be done the same on earth as it is in heaven, and let heaven come to earth as it is in heaven.
Sing this with us. Oh, our Father.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come quickly. Your will be done the same on earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come to earth as it is in heaven. Let heaven come. Let heaven come.
Let's declare this morning.
Let heaven come.
Through every situation, let heaven come this morning. Oh, wherever you're at, let heaven come directly in your life. Oh, let heaven come. Let heaven come. Oh, we know where our help comes from. We know where our help comes from this morning. Yeah. Let heaven come.
Let's think one more time.
Oh, let heaven come.
Just voices.
Let heaven come. Yeah.
Because yours is a kingdom, yours is a power, yours is a glory forever. Amen. Jesus, yours is a kingdom, yours is a power, yours is a glory forever.
Indeed, let heaven come. Thank you, Ethan and Addison, worship band. Friends, for the past few weeks, we have been focusing on a sermon series titled, Why Pray? Incorporating the spiritually integral prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer. And as I've said thus far, we have homed in on four of six petitions that were given to us in this prayer, and it's focusing on the major themes of Jesus' life and ministry. And these petitions, again, I've said this every week, they are meant to open our hearts and train our hearts so that God can use us to be the answer to our prayer. So on the screen, you will see the first four petitions of the Lord's Prayer in which we have covered thus far. And as I mentioned last Sunday, these are twofold petitions in which we are asking God to act, but also in turn within that ask is our call to act. Now, the same applies this morning as we place our attention on the fifth petition coming from Jesus. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or as Matthew 6:13 states, and don't lead us into temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. Temptation and evil, a double whammy sermon coming your way today. Goodness gracious, what a lighthearted message I have for all of us, yeah? But I tell you what I'm going to do is I'm going to ease into this with just a little bit of humor. What do you say, huh? All right, here we go. During a retreat, there came a moment when these four Christian men, they were having an honest heart-to-heart conversation. And so they were having it with each other. They were getting real about temptation and their struggles with life. So this one man, he opens up and he says to all the others, "Gosh, guys, I'm going to tell you this. I'm really embarrassed to admit this, but my biggest temptation is lust." Well, now, the next guy, to him, he shares and he says, "Oh, well, you know, my struggle is gambling, and no one knows this, but I am tempted on occasion to gamble, and in fact, I go to the casinos and do that too." Well, the third guy chimes in and he says, "Alcohol, that's my temptation. And I've often drunk way more than I should." And taking all this in, the last man replies, "Wow, fellas, I hate to tell you this, but my greatest temptation is gossip. So now if you'll excuse me, I need to post a few things to social media." There we go. That's the humor for today. All right. So this morning, let's center on a scripture passage from the first book of the Bible. And we're going to dig into this fifth petition within the Lord's Prayer. So receive these words from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And the translation is from the New Revised Standard Version. "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Did God say, you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, well, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate." Hear what the Spirit is saying to us this morning, to God's people. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, you know, it's funny how things, especially whenever you read Scripture, it's funny how things sometimes pop up unexpectedly. Just like, wow, where did that come from? So I can't tell you how many times I have seen, how many times I have heard this part of the Garden of Eden story. I'm talking probably hundreds. Nevertheless, for the very first time, talking very first time, not kidding, Disney's animated The Jungle Book came to mind. Now, you might be thinking, seriously, Pastor Mark, The Jungle Book? I know, but it's all because during my reflection, how I pictured Eve's encounter with a walking, talking snake, being the embodiment of temptation. More crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made is what verse 1 states, right? And here's this snake, extremely cunning and very sensible, great at rationalizing and making arguments for the very thing that God says not to do to Adam, for Adam and Eve, not to do. And here it was, and this is when my mind shifted over to Ka the python, who, when first meeting the man come, Mowgli, hypnotizes him with the intention of devouring the boy. And I'm tying this now into what Adam Hamilton wrote in his latest book. And this is what he said: hypnosis is an apt metaphor for temptation. It is as if we are falling under a spell and become susceptible to suggestion. So taking this image of Ka the python seeking to devour Mowgli, we too have to be on guard. We have to be on guard. For the devil, as described in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, the devil is the one who is seeking to devour God's people. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith. Now, come on. Has Ka the python, or a walking, talking snake, as described in Genesis, or a snake, in fact, ever slithered around and to entice me to do something that I shouldn't do? No. But I have certainly heard the whispering voice of rationalization enter into my thoughts, luring me into doing something that I shouldn't do. Sort of like along the lines of, ooh, Mark, this will make you happy. Or, Mark, you really deserve this. Or, you know, Mark, you do this and they'll love you. And when giving in to this little seductive voice in my head, let me tell you, happiness has ultimately been fleeting. That question about love, well, what has love actually got to do with it? And ego has taken over, and that ego is edging God out. Faith community, like it or not, temptation is part of the human condition. And while we may often consider temptation as a desire to do that which we know is wrong, and by do, what I mean by that is saying, thinking, acting, right? Let's not overlook that temptation also can be not doing anything at all when God has called us to act. It's tightrope walk. It's an internal struggle that we go through, wrestling within ourselves. Sometimes our conscience and spirit God lead us to do what is right and good. Praise God. And sometimes another force, power, voice, lure us to do otherwise. We're tempted to overconsume. We're tempted to gossip. We're tempted not to care. We're tempted for the desire for more. Give me more. We're tempted for the need for affirmation. We're tempted to want what is not ours. We're tempted to blow up at one another. We're tempted to live and think as if the world revolves around us. Yes, the question, friends, is not whether we're going to be tempted. It is all about how we're going to respond when temptation comes. And I believe that's one of the reasons why there's an and connector here in the Lord's Prayer between the fourth and fifth petition. And if you remember, I said there was an and connector last week between the third and the fourth petition. Because here's Jesus, and he is connecting this, our request for forgiveness, to a request for Spirit to lead us. Makes total sense. Forgive us and lead us. It's interesting, though, about this lead us part. Lead us not into temptation. That's the way it's typically prayed, right? Lead us not into temptation. However, being said or heard that way, the interpretation might be coming across as though it were God leading us into places and situations where we're going to be tempted. Now, why in the world would God do that? Why would God do that? Even Pope Francis back in 2017 said, and I quote, "It is not a good translation because it speaks of a God who induces temptation. I am the one who falls. It's not God pushing me into temptation to then see how I have fallen. A father doesn't do that. A father helps you to get up immediately. It's Satan who leads us into temptation. That's his department." Pope Francis makes a good point. If it's being understood this way, which it shouldn't, making it clear. For as James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 state, no one who is tested should say, "God is tempting me." This is because God is not tempted by any form of evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Everyone is tempted by their own cravings. They are lured away and enticed by them. The divine creator doesn't tempt us to do what is wrong. The divine creator wants to encourage us to do what is holy and good. God is the one who rescues us from sin. The emphasis in this part right here on the lead us is that we're asking God to lead us. God to lead us. How are we led? Well, Spirit leads us with a nudge sometimes. Sometimes that happens, a little nudge. And what I mean by this is that we feel or we're hearing something in our hearts. And in our hearts, that is our self at its deepest level. Spirit leads us through Scripture. And as it's modeled by Jesus in his response whenever he met the tempter in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Spirit leads us when we pray, when we reflect, and when we meditate, when we open our hearts and our minds to listen. Listen. Spirit leads us in worship, right? When we're gathered together in small groups or studies, when we're doing outreach together. The key, friends, here is our hearts are open. We must have open hearts, not closed hearts. And with God leading us, I like to think of this petition and this request in this way. And I'm going to give you some additional meaning behind these words now. Lead us not into temptation as the tempter or we ourselves might lead, but deliver us from evil. I'm going to say that again. Lead us not into temptation as the tempter or we ourselves might lead and deliver us from evil. Now, before shifting focus over to the second part of this petition, here's one more, and I found this, and this is a temptation insight that comes from Adam Hamilton, and I really appreciate this, so I'm going to share this quote with us. Is it possible there are more temptations that are reflected in this prayer? Is it the decision over whether we'll go about our lives focused on my and mine instead of thy and thine? Is it whether we'll seek God's will and kingdom or our own? Is it being satisfied with mere bread and missing out on the apousion bread? That's a super essential bread that satisfies our hearts. Or choosing to harbor bitterness and resentment rather than releasing our grievances. You see, these petitions from Jesus each lead into the other with purpose. And then we go to deliver us from evil. Evil. This topic alone would take several sermons. I mean, what can I say, especially in light of what we tend to witness every day? Every day. All you got to do is turn on a news channel. Turn on a news channel or look at social media, connect that way, or even just have a conversation with family and friends. It's probably going to come up some way or somehow. And this is the kind of evil that just, you know, it turns our stomachs in knots, and all we want to do is just want to walk away from it. Just want to walk away. But, you know, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are not We can't. Evil is real. Evil is powerful. And let's understand that it's not just out there in other people. It is present and has the ability to be activated within us. In fact, as Thomas Merton was an American Trappist monk and a social activist, and he once said, the greatest temptations are not those that solicit our consent to obvious sin, but those that offer us great evils masking as the greatest goods. However, Jesus' victory over evil is also real and powerful, amen? Yes, it's not just out there, but it's available for each and every one of us in the here and in the now. To pray, deliver us from evil, is to breathe into and for, to boldly live out the hope and promise that God will triumph over evil and fear. This week, it has been tough. I happened to turn on CNN. Sometimes I wonder why I even do it. I turned on CNN. I was in the car. I was listening to Sirius Radio. Yeah, I'm old school, whatever. And so I'm listening to CNN, and then this actually took my breath away. And I turned it off afterwards. These anchors, it took them over 3 minutes to list all of the United States cities in which there have been mass shootings this year. You know how many thus far? 201. 201 mass shooting, it's only May. I had to turn it off. I was like, wow. And as Shauna comes forward now, it's important that we take this moment, because last weekend, senseless murders occurred. And now we're going to light candles. I'm asking Shauna to light these candles as we say the names of these innocent victims, because it is important that we remember them. Remembering John Chang, who was killed while worshiping in a church in Laguna Woods, California. Remembering the 10 people who went to a supermarket in Buffalo, New York. Roberta A. Drury. Marcus D. Morrison, Andre McNeil, Aaron Salter Jr., Geraldine Talley, Celestine Cheney, Hayward Patterson, Catherine Massey, Pearl Young, and Ruth Whitfield. Let us take a moment of silence at this time. Siblings, for many Black Americans, the Buffalo shooting has stirred up the same feelings they faced after Charleston and other attacks. The fear, the vulnerability, the worry that nothing will be done politically or otherwise to prevent the next act of targeted racial violence. This evil that is being committed definitely isn't a one-off. It's as though we think it is, but it isn't. There is hate for victims' racial and ethnic identities, and this also goes along religion and sexual orientation. I want you to just consider the heartbreaking examples, such as in 2015, 9 Black worshipers were killed at Mother Emanuel AME in Charleston. In 2016, 49 persons were killed in a gay nightclub over in Orlando. In 2018, 11 Jews were killed in a synagogue in Pittsburgh. In 2019, 23 predominantly Latino people were killed at a Walmart in El Paso. And just over a year ago, 8 predominantly Asian women were killed in Atlanta. Do you see, like, the running theme here? It feels as though, this is what it feels like. It feels like an alarm clock is going off. Feels like an alarm clock is going off. And then, you know, with alarm clock, what is it? You're supposed to wake up. Wake up! But, you know, because there's a real, for me, there's this real in danger, this threat, this evil that is lurking about. And it's wanting to devour us, but yet this is what society keeps doing. They keep slapping the snooze button on the alarm as though it's like we're trying to avoid the reality of what's going on, this deep-seated hate and hurt and evil. And it has been continuing to go on far too long. Followers of Jesus, we are called to pray, deliver us from evil or the evil one. And indeed, we must pray. Pray indeed. That said, we are to live into. We are to live into the deliver us as well. Inside and outside of ourselves. Live it out. Live it out. As Romans 12, 21 states, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And that's action in motion. There's nothing passive about this whatsoever. It is upon each of us, each and every one of us, to, in the deliver us, to renounce the evil lie that is contained within white supremacy and what is known as the Great Replacement Theory, which weaponizes white fear and anger about the growing diversity that is happening. This is a desire, friends. This is a desire that denies the core belief that every person is made in the beloved image of God and possesses inherent dignity and equal value. The theory of replacement is a form of idolatry that must be dismantled. Period. We have to support one another while building better relationships that across the barriers that currently exist. We are to love our neighbors. Love our neighbors. That is part of the great commandment, not to separate, not to replace our neighbors. We must find ways and connect with others to work toward healing and wholeness for all who suffer. As Bishop Grant Haguia wrote this week in a message to the United Methodist Churches in the California Pacific Conference, this is what he said: it is imperative for our church to be a moral force for good in our world. As Jesus taught us, our response can only reflect the divine grace of love in all we do. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. As we continue to process all the things that have been going on and these senseless deaths, the one in Laguna Woods and that Buffalo, I want to offer a prayer as we close this message based on Psalm 13. And this comes from the Reverend G.G.A. Warren, and she is a board member with the United Methodist Church's General Commission on Religion and Race. So friends, let us pray as I close this message out. Gracious, holy and loving God, we find ourselves in a time of great sorrow because we are weary, we lament. Because our hearts are broken, we lament. Because our spirits are crushed, we lament. Because our souls want to faint, we lament. And when we lament, you are near. When we lament, you are the breath of life. When we lament, you are the one that sustains us. Thank you, Lord, that when we are weak, you are strong. Thank you, Lord, that you are our help and our rescuer. Thank you, Lord, that weeping moves us beyond sadness into compassion. Thank you, Lord, that even in lament, you take delight in us. Thank you for the gift of lament so that we do more than just regret our circumstances. We also resolve to wait patiently on you to see us through. Faith community, with the prayer of lament, let us now say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.